Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt episode 1946. And it's a very special night because we've got some young partisans sitting on the edge of their seat, wondering if the work that they did is going to pay off. So we have a contest tonight. We are going to give away an official Red Ryder Carbine Action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time, number 1771 out of only 2500 made from the Daisy Museum. The fourth year in a row now we've done this, this young partisan one-time pad giveaway. And so this is just really exciting. We've got a couple runner-up prizes, and then we will draw the name for the winner. So first of all, congratulations to all of you who worked so hard to decrypt this year's message. And then this was different and it was harder. You had to encrypt a different message and send it back to John Jacob Schmidt. So it was definitely challenging and it was great. The kids just worked so hard. And a couple of them even said, thanks so much for doing this again. You know, can you make it even harder next year? Well, I don't know. We didn't get as many this year as normal. And I think because it was a little bit harder. So those of you who persevered, great job. I am really proud of you. Now, before we get to that, I want to remind you that you can talk to Santa Claus. It's a great opportunity. We're talking about covert communications, right? Well, the not so covert communications, but a great skill, something that you might want to be introduced to is ham radio. And you can actually talk to Santa on the 3916 nets, and or you just go to CQ Santa, CQ, that's as in Charlie, Quebec, Santa.com, CQ Santa.com, and tune to 3916. They're doing it at 7 p.m. Central from Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas Eve. So check that out. And then also, just a couple days before Christmas Eve this year will be the, I think it's the 22nd and 23rd. We put it out on our mobile app, our Amron mobile app, that you can tune in on the 20-meter bands as well. And you can always go to the 14.300 net. And that will probably be taking place at 14.325. You may have to float around a little bit and look for that. But that's always a lot of fun. So, great job, kids. And, you know, communications is really important. And even kids in times past have played a very vital role in helping when their countries were in times of need, when their countries were in danger, there was war, their countries were invaded. And even kids sometimes contributed to the effort for their country winning that war. Sometimes they were couriers. They handled traffic. There's stories of kids that were handling encrypted, encoded traffic and carrying that. There is a story that I shared last year, and I'm going to share it again. It's a young girl. Her name is Sybil Luddington. She accomplished a feat at the age of 16 that would be difficult for a professional rider with modern equipment to do today. She rode twice as far as Paul Revere. And she did this to warn the communities around her that the British were coming. She rode from 9 in the evening until dawn the next morning. Can you imagine that at 16 years old? She got 400 Minutemen ready to fight the British that were on their way. She showed both bravery and tremendous skill. There's more stories about it at the AmericanHistoryForKids.com. Now, colonial women didn't usually fight in the Revolutionary War, but many of them tried to do their part. Sybil Ludington was only 16 years old when her turn came. She was the oldest of 12 children. Her father was a farmer and a military man. So, he was a colonel. A messenger arrived on horseback at the home of Colonel Henry Ludington on the night of April 26, 1777. He relayed a message that the British were planning to attack Danbury, Connecticut, the next day. Now, the colonel wasn't available to help, so instead his daughter, Sybil, traveled through the night on her horse to alert her father's troops. Most of the soldiers were farmers, and they had disbanded to go home and plant their crops. So Sybil rode between 20 and 40 miles through rain and dark woods, and she was able to gather several hundred soldiers. So the soldiers were late in getting to Danbury. The British burned the city, but they were met with a fierce fight as they were leaving. In 1975, the U.S. Postal Service honored Sybil with her own stamp. And there's a statue of her in Carmel, New York. There are many different examples, and we've shared some of those with you over the years during the contest. And we always want to try to make this applicable, how kids have actually used communications and covert communications in the past to help the grown-ups. So, but with all that, this is just fun. And this is a great opportunity to introduce you to the opportunity to have a collector's edition BB gun. And of course, we always want to remind you to be responsible and don't handle this or any firearm, or including a BB gun, without your parents' consent and supervision. Right? Right. Oh, you guys all know this, right? A lot of you guys already have your own 22s or hunting rifles and whatever. So we've got all the names right here. Now, normally I put all of the names in a captured Iraqi soldier's helmet that I actually got out of a bunker outside of Kuwait City when I was in Desert Storm. And that is in storage, so I have to use something different. But that's okay. And I've got Lady Liberty here with me. Lady Liberty, say hi to the kids.
This is Lady Liberty. Hello to all you kids out there that have participated in this awesome contest. So this is going to be exciting. We're going to draw somebody's name here, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and so this is the third runner-up prize, or I should say second runner-up prize. This is the third place prize, and so it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl. This is the Spy Science book. It's 40 secret sleuthing, code-cracking, spy-catching activities for kids. It's a paperback book, and the ones that we've given away before, the kids love them. We got great positive feedback on this. We do have boys and girls participating here, so this one, it won't matter. You'll be able to enjoy this. And matter of fact, one of the girls, I think we have a future cryptologist on our hands. She's, what was she, 9 or 10 years old this year? She was just eating it up, and she wanted us to make it harder. And she's practicing teaching her friends how to encrypt messages to send back and forth at school. So.
And she's looking forward to doing more math so she could be better at code breaking. I thought that was awesome.
I'll tell you what, the homeschooling kids, they just crush this stuff. But all the kids this year did just wonderful. So anyway, we got the names right here, and they are all mixed up. So why don't you go ahead and put your hand in there, Lady Liberty, and pull one out. This is for third prize. This is for the Spy Science 40 Secret Sleuthing, Code Cracking, Spy Catching Activities for Kids paperback book. And this is going to the name you got. What'd you pull?
I pulled out Bear Z Kate.
Bear Z Kate. There you go. Code name Bear Z Kate. You know what? Matter of fact, you want to write that down on that tab?
Yep, I've got it. Okay.
Outstanding. And then we're going to mix this up, and we're going to pull the next one. Now, the next one we've got, this is going to be either boy or girl. If it's a boy, it's going to be the Boy's Book of Adventure, a very popular prize that we've given away in the past. And this is the little guidebook for smart and resourceful boys. And it is just full of tons of activities. And the kids have just really loved it. So this was actually donated by a listener, one of the parents, actually, whose son won this last year. And he said that he loved this so much. He says, I would like to donate a couple of these. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to donate. Well, it depends. If it's a boy or a girl, you're going to get that one. If it's a girl, we're going to send you the Girl's Book of Adventure hardcover. And that's also one that we've given away in the past. 4.5 out of 5 stars, and very popular. The girls really enjoyed that as well. So, Lady Liberty, you're up. One more.
Okay, here we go.
The next one.
All right. Anticipation.
Who do we got?
Oh, here we go. We've got Buddy-10.
Codename Buddy-10. Buddy-10. You are the winner, and Buddy is, well, that would be a boy's, right?
That's right.
We don't have any gender confusion here in the land of the partisan and the free zones. The Boy's Book of Adventure, the little guidebook for smart and resourceful boys, spiral-bound book. You are the winner of that. Congratulations. All right. Now, the big prize here, this is going to be the grand prize for the 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock from the Daisy Museum. So
here's the big one.
Drum roll, right?
Okay.
Okay. Lady Liberty's going to pull this out.
All right. Here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, this is, bless her heart. She worked so hard on this. Okay. This is, and got it in just under the wire and identified. Well, let's just make the announcement right now. This is going to code name Miss January B. Eureka Bakery. That is a mouthful. that's got to be the biggest. January B. Eureka Bakery. That is the code name. These kids get creative. Congratulations. We'll call you January B for short. January B, you're the winner of the 2019 Red Ryder one-time pad decrypting contest. Wonderful job. Great job. I'm really glad. I'm so glad that you redid it and sent it back in. Your hard work and what a great attitude really paid off. You won. And for all the other kids out there, that is so such an encouragement to see your hard work and doing this. You know, we're not able to give one away to all of the kids that enter as much as we would like to. But hopefully you really enjoyed this. We want to encourage you to come back next year and tell your friends and get some of your siblings to get involved again. And there you go. So.
Well, she did an excellent job, and I'm so impressed. A young lady won that, so that's
yes.
Really exciting.
Yep, really good. Yeah, we've had quite a few repeats come back this year. So anyway, congratulations, guys. All right, kids, now you can go to bed. And I know a couple of you probably won't be sleeping, or at least January B won't be sleeping. She's going to be pretty excited. But that is going to be getting shipped out to you probably Monday or Tuesday, so we can make sure that you get it by Christmas. All right, guys, good job, kids. All right, go to bed. We've got some grown-up stuff to talk about when we come back right after the break. Our friends from Radio Free Alberta, and we'll get in some of the other stuff going on in Virginia and elsewhere, and we're going to compare what's going on, the current events, with Scripture. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
This is Radio Free Alberta. We are transmitting on 88.9 FM from a mobile transmitter. The liberation of Alberta has begun. Phone your MLAs. Write your MLAs. Attend rallies. Take back Alberta for Albertans. This is Radio Free Alberta. Transmitting at 8 p.m. and daily recap at midnight. God bless Alberta and her patriots.
This is Lady Liberty, and I just wanted to wish all of you awesome patriots out there a very Merry Christmas. I'd like to thank and bless all of you for supporting Liberty State Radio and for all your encouraging feedback. Thank you also for supporting our favorite voice of the American Redoubt, John Jacob Schmidt. Blessings and Happy New Year to all of you. Again, this is Lady Liberty, and you are listening to Radio Free Redoubt.
All right, we're back with segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt. And just like we did last week, we're going to push the news and commentary into segment two. But, hey, I want to thank our sponsor, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, for sponsoring segment one. We're able to give away another collector edition, Christmas Story Collector's Edition BB gun. It's really a lot of fun. But anyway, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate is there to help like-minded, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. And, well, they will help anybody, except for communists, get strategically relocated into the panhandle of Idaho. So check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. And so now I get, yeah, let's just do the news and commentary. Brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, all 10 books out, covering a fictional story of the collapse in America and the rebuilding. All 10 books are out, and that includes the audio books as well. So remember that if you're looking for a Christmas present for that hard to buy for a person, that might be an option for you. Now, this is coming from Daybreaker News earlier, actually last week, and I forgot to cover this, but this was just such a great victory. Conservatives gain a stunning victory in Britain. Can you believe this? This is a major defeat for the Marxists, who are just, I mean, they're going to regroup and come back. They always do, like cockroaches, right? But now they're on the run, and they need to stomp them. They need to pursue them. They need to just keep pummeling while they've got a victory, and they've got the Marxists on the run. They've got the momentum. Don't let up. Don't let up. Good job. The biggest win since Margaret Thatcher in 1987. Detailed results are all over the place, especially the UK sites, but from the Wall Street Journal, beyond Brexit, voters faced an economic policy choice between Mr. Johnson's generally pro-business pitch and the aggressive socialism of Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn. See ya. Don't want to be ya. Out of here, Marxist. Run with your tail between your legs. You don't belong in the UK. You deserve to be in prison. Any socialist, any communist that wants to overthrow Christian capitalism doesn't belong. Of course, I don't know. They got so many laws, and they're so overran right now. They made mistakes that are fatal to them, especially in terms of demographically altering their nation forever. It's like Muslim overrun. But this is a huge victory. We'll take the victories where we can get them, especially when it comes to the UK. So good job, people. That was just really that was encouraging to see. From Fox News, this is another great thing. Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley suggested last week that a Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, communist, socialist, Marxist, patooey government, had made a deal with the devil. And she's right. She just calls it like it is. In a recent decision to back an anti-Israel resolution at the UN. Now, I don't know if she meant this, but the how profound that statement is when you sign a deal to join other international governments to take a stand against Israel. The deal with the devil tagline is not hyperbole. It is so profound, that statement. It really is. And she said, I speak from experience when I say the United Nations presents many such opportunities to strike a deal with the devil. She was telling the audience about how it is often easier not to rock the boat instead of standing up to the mob. And she cited the Canadian vote as an example of this cultural corruption playing out in real time. She said, Canada has been for a long time balanced and fair-minded toward Israel at the United Nations. It has opposed the pull of the anti-Israel culture. Well, look, Trudeau is the previous president of the United States who shall not be named light. And it's the same thing. They're from the same mold. Another one, too. Venezuela. Oh, this is great. Venezuela wins a seat on the United Nations Human Rights Council. That's wonderful. That's like China having a seat on the United Nations Human Rights Council. And the U.S. brands it as an embarrassment. Well, let me just go a step further to say that the United Nations is an embarrassment. The United Nations is nothing but a Marxist platform to erode national sovereignty. And we're hosting the enemy right here in our own country. Then you just bring that place to the ground. You know, the Muslim terrorists on 9/11, they hit the wrong building, as far as I'm concerned. But then it just would have made the UN victims, and they would have just, oh, I wouldn't even think about that. They just need to boot them out. We have no business being in the United Nations. And there's some things that don't belong here, right? Be talking about things that don't belong here. For the militarytimes.com, this is great. This is great. It's a great step in the right direction. But apparently the Pentagon is saying that based on the Saudi Air Force Second Lieutenant Muhammad al-Shamrani, 21 years old, killed 3 U.S. sailors and injured 8 other people at the Pensacola Naval Air Station last Friday. Investigators are digging into whether he acted alone amid reports that he hosted a party earlier in the week where he and others watched videos of mass shootings. And of course, then he goes on one. And I was saying, these Muslims that are in our military training schools right now on U.S. soil, they need to be pulled, all of them, out, get out, or detain them, right? And vet them before you let them go. Well, that's pretty much what they're doing now. The Defense Department's chief spokesman said there's no explicit ban on new students, but none will enter the country until the department expands its role in the screening process and begins the additional reviews. About time. Why was this not done before? Currently, the bulk of the screening is done by the Departments of State and Homeland Security, as well as the host nation. Well, they're too busy jacking up American citizens and looking the other way when it comes to Muslim terrorists, but that's a different topic. Now, they're saying no foreign military students from anywhere. I think they need to narrow it down. No foreign military students going through any military school in the United States, connected to the United States military. They don't belong here if they're from a Muslim nation. If they're from a Muslim nation, they do not belong in America going through our military schools. They just don't. They've proven themselves since Tripoli. When Thomas Jefferson was president, when Thomas Jefferson was president, and we were warned, you're going to be fighting these guys. You can't let them in. You cannot let them in. Try to play patty cakes with them, talking about making deals with the devil. And that daybreakernews.com, while I was over there, picked up on a couple other headlines. Check this out. Most millennials see religious people as less tolerant than others. Well, their idea of tolerance is, you know, morality and standards in this day and age when, you know, anything goes. So naturally, millennials see religious people as less tolerant, but it doesn't say Christians, just, you know, religious people in general. Well, and how can you blame them when they're seeing how we've allowed Islam to just spread like a disease across the country, the world? Rather, and they see what's happening when they're throwing homosexuals off of buildings, they're beheading people that are not even the right kind of Muslim, right? Women are beaten because they don't have their heads covered. And you can't listen to music. You can't have posters on the wall. Any images of photographs of people that's taken away. It's banned. You're beaten for it. And they're implementing Sharia law. So naturally, millennials are going to see religious people as less tolerant. But even Christians saying, you know, we don't want to allow abortion because we believe in the sanctity of life. And, you know, so killing your own children is immoral. So we're opposed to that. So the millennials looking at that going, yeah, you don't have the right to abortions. Or now they're celebrating abortions, which is really a brain bender when you read the next story. A California man is facing murder for giving his girlfriend a pill to induce a miscarriage. So this is, you know, the abortion pill, right? A man gives his girlfriend, who's pregnant apparently, a abortion pill. The baby dies, and now he's facing murder. See the twisted thinking here? But a woman can murder her child, and this, you know, actually some of the pro-abortion people are trying to make this thing go away, because as soon as he's convicted for murdering the baby, they just recognize that that is a life and killing it is murder. Of course, Idaho already does that. It is murder to kill a fetus. But they made an exemption for women who choose to have abortions. It's still murder, but they're exempted from prosecution. Get that. Unreal. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I miss America, too. There is a great article over at Redoubt News exposing the liberal trash left media, specifically in this case, the Spokesman Review, which we all affectionately call and appropriately refer to as the Socialist Review. So let me just share a little bit of this with you. It doesn't take much to get a liberal journalist spun up over anything they can twist against a conservative. If a conservative Christian talks about a Bible study they were part of, the liberal media are likely to spin it to mean that a person wants the end of the world or something equally nefarious. But in June, Spokane Public Library hosted a drag queen story hour, pedophilia, sexual deviance, with wanting children to sit on their laps while they read them stories about homosexuality. Well, conservatives were treated abominably for their protests against the event. A pastor, Afshin Yagtin, attempted to walk into the library to quietly pray for the children involved in this event, and he didn't go there to make a scene. He didn't go there to get loud and offensive, and I'm reading from the story here that Sherry Duvalli posted at Readout News. He just wanted to be inside of the building while he quietly prayed, as what he does as a Christian pastor. So the Spokane police arrested him. The Spokane judge dismissed all charges, hallelujah, victory, against the pastor. And the Spokesman Review didn't like it. They didn't like it a bit. So they ran an article basically calling him, this guy's Middle Eastern descent, who's now a Christian pastor, and this communist tied so-called journalist, he's just a propagandist, writes this hit piece against the pastor calling him brownie. And so when he was called out on this, he's making a racist comment about this Christian pastor. He said, really nice persecution, you're so-called being persecuted, brownie. So the pastor writes a letter to the Spokesman Review saying, I'm offended at this reference to me being a brownie. So what did the Spokesman Review staff do? They send back slang, the Urban Dictionary, the Urban Slang Dictionary for brownie, trying to point out that they didn't mean it as a racial slur, but what brownie means, according to the Urban Dictionary, is worse. It's like a sexually explicit act with a Republican, senior Republican member. That's what a brownie is. Somebody who performs this a very explicitly described sexual act on a Republican senior member. This came from the Spokesman Review, the professional, the guardians of journalism in your community. It's just going so far. It's getting worse and worse by the day. Matter of fact, it's getting so worse. I went over to Stark Raving Mad to share a couple stories with you guys at rhinopack.org. They have these Stark Raving Mad, just over the top, real live stories about how insane we're becoming as a culture. And I'm like, I can't even read any of this stuff on the air, man. Some of these kids may not have gone to bed yet. Unreal. It's wow. Get out of the cities, avoid crowds. Buy another case of ammo, fuel, and hold fast to our heritage. It's shrinking, isn't it? The free zones. I feel like the free zones that exist, the pressure is like pressing against the edges of the free zones. It is quite an amazing time to be alive. There's no question about it. Well, hey, we're going to come back with segment three, and I'm going to talk about where I left off yesterday with the situation unfolding in Virginia and the government advancing an unconstitutional law, preparing to. They're fully made very clear their intent to pass unconstitutional laws, and the county governments are standing against it. There's sheriffs are saying that they're going to stand against it. And the response is, hey, the law is the law, and these are laws, and you will enforce them. I'm going to address that when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go too far away.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
And we're back with segment three at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Hopefully you guys had a blessed week. It's been a great week and lots of good stuff going on. Lots of exciting stuff going on. The things that make us realize that the times that we're living in is just amazing, isn't it, to be living in this time? Certainly challenges. But that's okay. We were born for the time that we are in. I want to rise to the occasion. Strategiclandscapedesign.com is the website to learn about how you can get the most out of your property, to design your property strategically in ways that can keep you safe and to help you thrive. Food production, water securing your water rights, defensibility, alternative energy. All this kind of stuff to get the most out of that property that you've got. Or if you are shopping for property and maybe even comparing properties and you want some professional help, some of the services that they offer at Strategic Landscape Design, even if you don't live in the American Redoubt, they do remote services as well. So look them up at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Okay, now I want to start off with a scripture here. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan." Well, there are wicked people who are in positions of rulership, and the people are groaning, even in America. Right now, if you've been following the Virginia Citizens Defense League or the brand new Radio Free Virginia, you'll know the people are groaning. Why are they groaning? Why are they not rejoicing? Well, because wicked people are ruling. The righteous in those ruling positions, leadership, are decreasing. I started talking about this yesterday, so I just want to recap so we understand where we're coming from. Because they're saying, hey, we're going to pass these laws, and they will be enforced. And hey, the law is the law, so you can't just snub your nose at the law. And so we'll just stop right there. Now, let me move forward. If you go to, you can go to any one of these Cornell Law, you can even at the FBI website, you can find the 16th American Jurisprudence and the 18, Title 18 Code, actually, correct myself, Title 18 U.S. Code 242, which addresses the deprivation of rights under the color of law. In other words, you're in a position of authority. Law enforcement officer, elected official, a bureaucrat, whatever it is, you're operating under the color of law when you are enforcing things, and you do that unlawfully, it's against the law. That's under Title 18, U.S. Code 242. But they're talking about passing these unconstitutional, which means unlawful, laws that's in violation of the Constitution. And the 16th American Jurisprudence, just like I mentioned yesterday, I've mentioned this many times before, clearly states that any law which is passed, which is in violation of the Constitution, is null and void as if it had never been written and as if it had never been passed. It is unenforceable. So what happens when they say we pass this law? We're going to, you have to follow the law, but then the law is in conflict with the higher law. Well, there's actually consequences here. So let me read Title 18, U.S. Code 242. It says, "Whoever, under the color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or the laws of the United States, or to different punishments, pains, penalties, on account of such a person being an alien or by reason of his color or race, than are prescribed for the punishment of citizens, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both." So if you deprive somebody of their rights under the color of authority, or if you give somebody a different punishment because of the color of their skin than another person would get, you're abusing your authority under the color of law. And it is a crime. So when you take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, which is the fundamental duty of the government in the United States, is to uphold and vigorously defend the rights of the citizens. When you do that and you go against that, you're acting unlawfully and you're in violation of your oath, which in and of itself is a crime. So let me continue on here, because the governor there, and they're hinting, not the governor, I take that back. Somebody else was saying the governor has the right to do this, and I'm not the governor, but he could do this, right? He could call up the National Guard. Well, that I'm going to be covering tonight also. He has not called up the National Guard. National Guard has not gotten a call from the governor or anything like that. There's one person speculating what the governor could do, and it was a leftist, Marxist, Democrat, Democratic Socialist, Communist, basically saying these guys better be careful passing these resolutions saying they're not going to enforce these gun laws because, hey, the governor could pull out the National Guard card.
or pull funding, or remove these people from office, possibly arrest them for not enforcing an illegal law. Now, which brings me to this point, which was what I was talking about yesterday. On account of such person being an alien, oh, let me move forward here. Okay. And if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this action, or if such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. And if death results from the acts committed by the violation in this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life or both, or may be sentenced to death. Which I think this should be put into use way more. There is no fear of consequences for the government when they overstep their bounds. Very rarely. We have seen some cases where police officers were prosecuted for wrongfully shooting somebody and they went to prison for it. But I contend that that doesn't happen nearly often enough. And really, the police officers who are carrying out these duties, they're not any less responsible. But really, this should be on the heads of those people that are making the policies and ordering the troops on the ground, if you will, to carry out illegal orders. Those people should be in prison. And I don't mean a white collar country club prison. Actually, they should just be hung if I had my way, if I were in charge of the world, and I'm not. And I never will be. But that's my opinion. So there's a great article over at politicaltheology.com that I started to talk about yesterday. The Politics of Righteousness is the title of the article, referring to the book of Zephaniah 3, verses 14 through 20. I'm just going to read you a little snippet from this whole article. If you want to go read it yourself, I strongly recommend it. It's written by Stephen Dawson, P-H-E-N, Stephen Dawson, at politicaltheology.com. So he's pointing out that Zephaniah was condemning the officials in Jerusalem for their inactivity during those dark times. He said, quote, "Ah, soiled, defiled, oppressing city. The officials within it are roaring lions. Its judges are evening wolves that leave nothing until morning. Its prophets are reckless, faithless persons. Its priests have profaned what is sacred. They have done violence to the law." So when you are passing a law that is in violation of it, you have done violence to the law. When it's very clearly unconstitutional, we're going to ban all assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. That is a blatantly clear even if you just, you can't make an argument against it and be honest about the intent, the spirit and intent of the Second Amendment. You can't. It's very clear what they intended. Matter of fact, we should even have AR-15s. We should have M4s and M16s at minimum. Peaceful, law-abiding citizens should have M240Gs, M249s, M203s, anything that a standing military, in their arguments and writings made it very clear. It was intended for the citizenry to have access to and possession of the same weaponry that the standing army would have. So what would an infantry platoon have? That's what should be in the citizens' hands. So even all this argument about AR-15s aren't assault weapons. You can't ban them. They don't even meet the qualification. They're not even actually technically assault weapons. So don't ban them, please, because they're not full auto. They're only semi-auto. You guys are so ignorant. You don't even know what a real assault weapon is. Well, I know what a real assault weapon is, and any law banning them is an unlawful law. Period. Now, I don't have anything full auto. I have no intentions of having anything full auto because, I've mentioned this before. Full auto is generally more inaccurate. it has its place, suppressing fire and ambushes, and we need to establish fire superiority. They have their place, but generally speaking, well placed, even rapid semi-automatic fires, generally much more effective anyway. Plus, I don't want to risk going to jail over something illegal. Everything that I have is perfectly legal today. It's legal in the free zones. It wouldn't be legal in California or New York or Massachusetts, but fooey on those places anyway, occupied territory. So, that's where we are. Spoiled, defiled, oppressing city. Its priests have profaned what is sacred. They've done violence to the law. Those who are in positions of leadership fail at this crucial moment, Zephaniah suggests, because they are corrupt. The officials, judges, prophets, and priests, the establishment, fail, not simply because of their corrupt actions, but because of their fundamental unrighteousness. And that's what our government is called to be, is righteous. I covered several scriptures on this yesterday. So let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 16. This is verses 18 through 20. This is what a government should look like. This is their orders. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you. Okay? Right there. We're supposed to have government. God tells us to appoint judges and officers in all of our towns. You need to have, we're not anti-government. This is another lie from the SPLC, but they're just liars anyway. They can't help it. It's pathological to them. So when they start calling you things, calling you anti-government or whatever, don't let them define you. You define you. We are not anti-government. We're pro-government. I believe in Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20, which says to appoint judges and officers in all your towns. That's government. I believe that. That's pro-government. Where the Lord your God is giving you. Well, the Lord God gave us this land of America. He's given us this. He wants us to establish a government. According to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. There's a key word right there. Righteous judgment. You shall not, listen to this. This is a message to the government from God, the highest authority in the universe. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. And you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that your Lord God is giving you. You want to live? Don't be corrupt in government. Now, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Well, now we got this conundrum. What if our leaders say, give up all your guns? Hebrews 13 says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Well, that's what the leftists and even the pandering so-called Christians are regurgitating. And that's exactly what Hitler did when he went to the clergy and he told them that because of Romans 13, I'm in charge. I wouldn't be in this position if God didn't put me in here. So you need to remind the citizens of this to submit to me. And they complied. Hebrews chapter 13, right here. But what they're not doing is finishing the sentence. And this is what it says. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So don't groan. Do this joyfully. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give account. But stop right there. Not only they will be held to account. It's intended that they should give an account of how they are leading. And it says right here in Hebrews, why should we submit to them? Because they are keeping watch over our souls. But these imposters that have gained these positions within our governments are implementing a satanically influenced United Nations agenda. They want to disarm you, which we see historically has been disastrous. They're lying to you about why you should disarm yourselves, why they are advancing sexual perversion, and they're sexualizing our children, and they're murdering babies and making you pay for it. They are the ones who are watching over our souls, which is why we're supposed to be to listen to the leaders and submit to them. This is an abomination. It's completely opposite of the way it was intended to function and design. Like the example I've given in the past, the government. Well, let me get to that in just a minute, because I want to go right into Romans chapter 13, which is the favorite of tyrants to use to get especially Christians to fall into line and to be obedient. Romans chapter 13. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. This is what Hitler used. This is actually what the clergy teams with the Department of Homeland Security under the previous administration, who will not be named. This is what they were doing, was going out and reaching out to clergy in the communities after Hurricane Katrina. And everybody was up in arms about being disarmed unlawfully. They were disarming peaceful citizens, and they said, oh, that's never going to happen again. And there was a massive pushback against the federal government, especially the Department of Homeland Security, for these types of policies. So what were they doing? They were going and developing these clergy response teams, and part of their curriculum, what they were teaching, according to clergy pastors who were leaving these meetings, saying this is what they told us, firsthand accounts, they told us. They brought up specifically Romans chapter 13. And so when we have to take certain measures and curfews or turning in guns or whatever, could you help us by reminding the citizens in the community of Romans chapter 13? It's exactly what Hitler did. So whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Pretty straight and clear, right? We're supposed to just do whatever they say. And he gives a reason why we're supposed to obey them. And it says, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Why should we obey the government? Because God put them there, because they are not there to cause fear for good behavior, but for evil. But we have people in the government that's taking control of different portions of our government that are acting unlawfully, passing laws in violation of the higher authority, which they will give account for. And they're trying to strike fear into you to gain your compliance for doing the right thing, for doing what's lawful and legal, while they are advancing evil, perverts, communists, people who want to destroy our country, people who want to undermine our fundamental values and ideals, our Christian heritage, that's evil. They're not looking out for our souls. They're looking to destroy our souls. Completely opposite of what the reason God gave for following the government, people in authority. And this scripture, therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, works both ways. Because when you've got elected officials or bureaucrats that are pushing an agenda and compelling you by force, the threat of force or imprisonment or confiscation of your property, to comply with something that goes against God's law and God's authority or the Constitution, any law that's higher than them. If they're compelling you to comply with something, they themselves are the ones who are resisting authority because they're acting outside of their authority. If they're pushing something that's unlawful, they're pushing something that's out. They don't have the authority to violate the higher law. No elected official can say about God's law, that doesn't apply now anymore. I'm the government and I'm telling you the way things are going to be. He himself is resisting authority, not you. It has to be like the example that I gave before. It's like a parent taking your child into a store saying, you know, I want you to steal a candy bar, steal two of them, and you can have one and I'll have one. Don't worry. I'm authorizing you to, as your parent. You have my authorization. Matter of fact, I'm ordering you to steal a candy bar. And if you don't, I'm going to punish you. Well, that parent doesn't have the authority to order the child to violate a higher law, a law against stealing. But that's what they've done. And in fact, what's the problem is you've got the snot-nosed teenager with an attitude actually acting like the parent, giving the orders to the parents. We are the parents. They're our servants. They work for us. But this has got flipped. This is not a republic anymore. It's a democracy. So in Proverbs 21:15, it says, "The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but it is terror to the workers of iniquity." You hear that? The exercising of justice is joy for those of us who are righteous. But people who work iniquity, evil people, exercising justice is a terror to them. And now here we are flipped again. We've got righteous people who are being terrorized by the government or the human rights Gestapo or whatever for not complying with something that's unrighteous. There's a complete inversion. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Well, there it is, right there again. Whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him, I mean bureaucrats, for the punishment of what? Evildoers. And the praise of those who do right. But see, they are punishing those who do right, and they are praising the evildoers. This is not what God intended. You got evil people telling you must comply with evil. There's a problem. And you're not compelled to comply with it. In fact, they are compelled to repent, which is what the governor, what those legislators in Virginia, all across the country, wherever they are, Washington State, California, they not only need to be demanding people follow them, they need to stop doing what they're doing. They need to repent because they're acting unlawfully. And they will be given, they will have to give account. So it says the government doesn't bear the sword in vain. It's not just for looks. It's there to execute righteousness, justice, and to go against the evil. But you got the evil people in charge of the enforcers, the police officers, the National Guard. Yep. And they said, the law is the law. That's what the Virginia Democrats saying. Now they're floating the idea of prosecution against police officers, sheriffs, or county commissioners who won't enforce the law. And possibly even using the National Guard, deploying the National Guard. And they're using the argument, the law is the law. But I want to remind you, the law is the law. The Constitution is the law. God's law is the law. There's a hierarchy of laws. In Nazi Germany, in Poland, in other parts of Europe, when the Jews were ordered to be registered, arrested, relocated, and executed, it was the law. In Canada, a pastor faces arrest if he reads from certain texts in the Bible addressing homosexuality as sinful. He could be arrested. He's threatened with arrest because it violates Canada's recent anti-discrimination laws. It's the law, and the law is the law. In France and in the UK, people are being charged with hate crimes simply for pointing out the sharp rises in crime and demanding their leaders reconsider the open border refugee policies in areas where Muslim gangs are raping any non-Muslim women that they can find, and they feel totally justified by it because of Sharia. And if you point that out, you could be charged by posting statements against the refugees for those reasons under the hate crimes laws. But hey, the law is the law. You must follow it. The law also says while your country's being invaded by Muslims who've clearly stated their intent and are carrying out what they said they will do, you can't talk about it. You can't question it. You certainly can't oppose it. If so, you face imprisonment because the law is the law. You know, in the latter part of the Roman Empire, they hung Christians on poles and lit their bodies on fire to be used to illuminate the roads at night. And fathers, mothers, and children were thrown to wild animals and ripped to pieces and eaten alive for the amusement of cheering crowds. Christian prisoners who were arrested and sentenced to death because they were, well, Christians. And that was against the law. And after all, the law is the law. We'll be back with segment four right after this.
This isn't looking good at all, man.
Out of control.
This isn't looking good at all.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. Don't forget to tune in to Lady Liberty's latest podcast over there at Liberty State Radio. Great job. Another one, once again, hitting it out of the park every single time. And if you're not listening on Sunday evening, you're listening to this during the week, a couple folks have asked, you know, where can I listen to it? Well, you can go to libertystate.org and click on the news tab, or you can go directly to the Liberty State Radio's Podbean site, where you can download it, listen to it, share it, embed it, whatever you want to do there. It's at libertystateradio.podbean.com. And just like Radio Free Redoubt at podbean.com. Same thing. All right. Segment four is brought to you by Werks Holsters, WERKZ.com. For your custom Kydex holsters and magazine carrier needs, and all their stuff's made here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Werks.com is the website. Now, we were talking about the Virginia National Guard potentially being called out. And so people are just spinning out. I saw this. This is a great meme. The author of the Virginia Senate Bill 16, and it says next to his face, he's got his face there. And by the way, guys, you need to know who is intending to violate the law and act unlawfully in violation of their oath, to violate your rights, to completely go against their fundamental duty, which is to uphold and defend the rights of the citizens. When they are doing the exact opposite of what they are intended to do, when they intend to do harm to the righteous while upholding and praising the wicked, you need to keep these names handy. All right, it's Christmas time. We got a naughty list and a nice list. Nice and naughty. Well, for your naughty list here, you've got this Senate. Who is this Senate? He says, "Hi, I'm Dickie Saslaw, Virginia Senator, Fairfax County. I want somebody else to go to your house and kill you and take your guns." And isn't that the truth? These guys get to violate the law, walk around like a bunch of elitists in marble halls and make these decisions. And they're so incensed that you would object to their agenda. They almost want the opportunity for you to dare to cross them, dare to go against them, and to send out armed thugs. Somebody else is going to be armed that's going to enforce that person's unlawful law. So this is a Senate Bill number 16, SB 16, and I looked it up. Relating to prohibiting the sale, transfer, etc. of assault firearms and certain firearms magazines. And of course, that bill also includes the penalties. But right now, a lot of people are really spun up. And bearingarms.com, it's multiple places where the Major General Timothy Williams put out a public message to let the public know what, you know, to respond publicly. And so I'll just share a little bit of this article with you. Democrat Congressman Donald McEachin, boo, hiss, comments about using the National Guard to enforce Governor Ralph Northam's proposed gun control laws in Virginia has caused a storm of controversy in the state, to the point that the Adjutant General of the Virginia National Guard has issued a statement after scores of phone calls and emails from concerned citizens and curious media figures. Major General Timothy Williams said this, quote, "We have received multiple questions regarding proposed legislation for the 2020 General Assembly session and the authority of the governor of Virginia to employ the Virginia National Guard in a law enforcement role. Please make sure you share this message with all of your personnel." This is out to the National Guard. "We understand and respect the passion people feel for the U.S. Constitution and the Second Amendment rights." Now, I wish his words that he chose was different. This is, we're not fighting about something just this, that we're passionate about. This isn't just passion. This is not emotionally driven reactions. So I would like to have seen a general say, "We understand and respect the rule of law and how much our citizens passionately value the Constitution and their rights, their God-given rights, which are enumerated in that Constitution to include Second Amendment rights." He didn't say that, but that would have been much better if he did. But remember, if you're a general class operator, general class, they can ham radio. If you are a field grade general officer, you're a politician. You don't get into those positions without knowing how to work the politics. All right. He said, "We will not speculate about the possible use of the Virginia National Guard. I encourage everyone to be patient while we allow our elected officials to work through the legislative process. We have not received any requests from the governor or anyone on his staff about serving in a law enforcement role related to any proposed legislation. I expect our soldiers, airmen, and members of the Virginia Defense Force to be professional and respectful in their discussions about this subject. As private citizens, our personnel are free to express their opinions to their elected officials, but they should not engage in any political activity while in a uniformed status. We will provide regular updates when appropriate during the General Assembly session. Please utilize your chain of command to direct any questions or concerns to my office, and we will do our best to address them." So in this article pointed out here at bearingarms.com, the author says, "For those who were hoping that Major General Williams was going to come out swinging with a, 'Hell no, we're not taking anybody's guns,' it wasn't going to happen. Even if that's how the Adjutant General feels, he's not going to pick a fight with the governor if he doesn't have to." And that, I think, is a very key concept there to focus in on for some. I know there's some people that are upset that the general should have said, "I took an oath. I will not disarm anyone." Well, right now is not the time for that. You can be thinking that in the back of your mind. But if the governor never calls on the National Guard and never intended to, and just some staff or some other representative saying, "You know, the governor could do this if he wanted to," and the whole world explodes, and the general comes back taking on an adversarial position against the governor when the governor has not even ordered anything yet, or even maybe discussed it or thought about it. That could create some major problems. So I think if I were in that position, in that general's position, I would pretty much say something similar. We have not received any word. We don't expect to. We don't expect that we'll be ordered to do anything that would violate our oaths that we took. And we understand how important the constitutional is to this. We're pleased to see that the Constitution, that the people hold, the sentiments that they hold toward the Constitution, that they're that impassioned about, is actually gives us some hope. The people still care about the Constitution that we took an oath to defend and uphold. You know, but we haven't received any orders. There's nothing going on here. All right. So, anyway, there's some stuff I'm not going to be able to get quite to be able to get to at this point. I wanted to cover. Yeah, I'm going to save this. This is a very interesting battle that's going on in the Patriot community right now. People that are saying, it's time. Hey, when are you going to wait? You're going to wait for them to come to your gun? We just need to start, taking people out. And other people are saying, no, this is still a political fight. And they're like, when are you going to stop crying about your rights being violated and actually do something about it? And other people are saying, this is a political fight and there are two different sides and there's going to be some fraction, some fracturing in the Patriot community, just like there always has. We saw this during Malheur. We saw this during, the Bundy Ranch. People said, you're wrong for going down there to Bundy Ranch. And other people are saying, if you say I'm wrong, that's not the right way to fight this. Other people are saying you're a coward and you're actually part of the problem if you don't join us. And then of course that disagreement takes on a life of its own. You begin to lose all rational arguments and you can't reason any longer when people get so, invested in their side of things and they're part of the argument. So anyway, there is an ongoing conversation right now over at Western Rifle Shooters, great website, great articles, great points. And I wanted to weigh in on this, come kind of right in the middle of these two ends of the spectrum on this approach. So, there's a lot to be discussed and this is going to be ongoing. We've got plenty of time to discuss it. Lexington Green and Concord is not going to happen next weekend or the weekend after or next month. But if one of these groups does not back down, there's going to be a conflict. There's pretty much no way around it. So we'll see what that develops into. But I'm going to hold off on talking about the rest of that. I'm going to copy and paste this conversation into my notes for next week so I can kind of prep for that because I don't know. It's going to be Christmas week too. So I might just make it a Christmas. I probably will end up just making it a Christmas podcast and just kind of stick to that. Talking about some Christmas history and I think that might be the best way to go because this subject's not going away and we'll continue talking about it for sure. So I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up, guys. I just want to thank you for being out there. God bless you guys. You have a great week and we'll be in touch with you. Thank you also for the letters of encouragement and the feedback. Really great to hear from you guys. So with that, we're going to wrap things up. Don't forget to tune in. Listen to Lady Liberty's latest podcast coming up here right after Radio Free Redoubt. And the second episode of Radio Free Virginia, last time I looked, wasn't available yet. It wasn't uploaded for me to go ahead and get. So go to radiofreeva.com for the latest release of that. With that, this has been another episode of The Voice of the American Redoubt from the Free Zones. This has been episode 19-46. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.